to watch you grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is what thrills me the most. To see your moms and your dads and your loved ones around you protect you and nurture you and to show you the way, it's just exciting. It's just exciting. Well, today I want to talk about something that reminds Papa Bear of Feast of Tabernacles. What do you think that is?
Water and ice.
Well, I got some ice in the water, but it's just water today. Yeah. It's just water. There is ice in there, isn't there? There sure is. No, I'm not trying to trick you. Well, maybe I am. You can. Well, there is ice in there, isn't there? There sure is. I'll tell you what. I want to start by talking about, first of all, remember the first day I talked about cups, right? I just want you to remember that we want our cup to be clean on not only the outside, but also the inside. That's right. And there was one person whose cup was absolutely perfect on the inside and outside. Who was that?
God.
That's right, Jesus. That's exactly right. And we want to be like him. And he was perfect, okay? But you know what? Which one of you here made this cup? You didn't make this cup. Did you make this cup? No. Did you make this cup, Diego? Somebody else made this cup, right? And you know, that's part of the problem with our cup. No matter how good we try to be, are we ever perfect? Who's the only one who can make our cup perfect? That's exactly right. Oh, these kids are smart. If half the adults in the world had half the knowledge of half of these children, we'd be 10 times better off. That's true. That's a true statement. Now, Papa Bear likes to give you guys things, right? Yeah, I do. You do. You want ice in the water or water in your ice? Okay.
There is a big ice in there.
Well, I'll tell you, that damage covered yours. Hold on. Let's start. I want you to have a drink of this. Have a drink of water there. Take a drink. Sip on it. It's not going to hurt you. Have a drink of water, sir. There you go. Have a drink. All right, here we go. Drink water. Have a drink of water. Jeff, have a drink of water. Have a drink of water. Gracie, have a drink of water. Go ahead, drink it. Go ahead. One or two. Go ahead, have a drink. Caitlin, you want a drink? No? Grace, you got another one? You already got some. I want you to drink it. Okay, I'm going to drink some. Did you drink some? What did you? What was your experience in drinking that water?
Bitter.
It was bitter.
Bitter water. Gracie, did you taste your water?
What was your experience?
I don't know.
What did it taste like?
What did your water taste like? It was
sweet.
It was sweet.
Wait a minute. Well, yours was bitter. Yours was
sweet.
What does your water taste like?
Sour.
Sour? His water sour? What's your water taste like?
Nope. My water tastes like pepper!
Like pepper?
Sweet.
Sweet.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on. I use the same water, and you're all getting different taste, flavor out of this? Frank, do you think this was bad design? My water tastes like I went down to the ocean and got it. It's salty. Wow. I mean, it's really salty. So what was the difference in our experiences here? What was our difference? What made the difference? Was the water any different?
No.
The water wasn't any different. Oh, there was something else in the cup? There was something else in the cup. In fact, some of these cups that you guys are drinking, you want to finish that up? You want to finish that up? Well, you know what? The only way that you could have made your own water better was if you had control of what was inside the cup when the water was poured in. If you had a perfectly clean cup when the water was poured in, now try and drink it. It's better now? It's a whole lot better, huh? Gabriel, do you want some more? All right. I don't want anybody to not get water, because you know what I've been talking about all week? What have I been talking about?
Water.
Water, nice. Yeah, absolutely water. Yeah. And, you know, when you have the opportunity to come where they're going to give you water, and you have the opportunity to make sure that you bring your own cup, and your cup is clean, you're probably going to get the best drink of water, right? Does that make sense? Now, we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, haven't we? Huh? And you know, we all come. Well, first of all, we all came because it's a command. Amen? We all came because it's a command. Amen? I hope you at least got that much out of the messages this week. We're told to be here. Right? And yet, every one of us has had a different taste from the cup. Okay? Some of us tasted that we're to be salt. Some of us tasted that we're to be sweet, so that other people want to know about Christ. What's that? Some of us found that when we had ice in our cups, that God is there wanting to melt that hardness and that coldness within us. And He wants us to become more fluid in His hands, right? Some of us tasted bitter herbs because we're going through some experiences in life right now that are drawing us into some testings and things, because the bitter herbs were to remind us that when they came out of Egypt, that they had to have these bitter herbs to remind them of the experiences that they went through and the things that they had in their life. And yet, you know, there's one cup I want to talk to you about this morning that's more important than all the other cups. And I have this cup in two cups because it's doubly hard. And there's none of us here who can really drink of that cup the way it was drank from. I want you to smell this. Just smell. Just give that a smell. I want you to smell that cup. I want you to smell that cup. Just smell it. Just smell it. Just smell that cup. I guess I'll probably serve it the best. I'm going to read to you about this cup this morning. Well, yes, it did. Oh, these children are so smart. If you do not appreciate these children, oh, mercy to thee, are they ever smart. After these things, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Our Savior got thirsty. This is out of the book of John, chapter 19, for those who would want to open and read with me there, starting with verse 28. Our Savior had like needs as each and every one of us. He got hungry, he got thirsty, he got tired, he got hot, he got cold. He needed all the same basics that you and I need. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, sour wine. And they filled a sponge with that vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit, the ghost. Wow. I don't think I'll ever really look at vinegar the same way again. The first recorded miracle of our Savior was when he turned water into wine at a marriage feast. How many of you have heard that story? I just want to see if I need to tell anybody about that story. There's a couple who may have not heard it, but they're young. And not only did he take water that could quench the thirst, but there was a specific request that it be wine, because it was a marriage feast, and it was a celebration. And it was the custom to serve wine at these events. And so, if you remember the story, when our Savior got done turning that water into wine, it just wasn't any wine, was it? It was the best wine. It was the very best wine. And it was to be served at a wedding. Guess what? That same dynamic individual is preparing for another wedding. And he is preparing that finest wine that the lips of man have yet to taste. And he has the power to do it from the rivers of living water that flow forth out of him. So isn't it ironic that as he hung on a cross, making atonement for you and for me, for each and every one of us, Tiffany, do you know why Jesus hung on that cross? Because he was taking away our sins. That's right, he's making a payment for our sins. And as he hung on that cross, children, Jesus got thirsty. Gracie, what would you have given Jesus when he said, give me something to drink? You would have given him water? Would you give him water?
Yeah.
Would you give him water? What? But you know what he got instead?
Wine.
No, it's not wine. Vinegar. Sour. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know why? Do you know why? It had to fulfill Scripture. But you know what? We couldn't give him what he needed. He alone can give us what we need, but we couldn't give him what he needed. And even when they offered him what was once wine, it was the wine that they didn't want to drink. It was sour. It had turned to vinegar. We may be called upon to suffer for his name. Caleb, that's it. We may be called upon someday to share in afflictions. Tiffany? No, Papa Bear talk. We may be called upon to give our life for His name. And at that time, we may get to share in that cup. At that time, we may understand that there are nobody standing around us who can give us what we really need, except God. At that time, we may really appreciate the full payment that was made on that cross, because we may be asked for the same price to be paid with our lives. But this is a cup that He could only drink from. This was a cup that you and I were powerless to give Him the water that He thirsted for at that time. Were you there? Were you there? Were you there when this all happened? I've been asked to sing the song again. And I want you to think of that, the words of this song, with this cup, and with this cup in mind, and with this water in mind that comes from Him, that can only come from Him. Because He's all about the perfect cup. He's all about the cup of bitterness. He cried for those people. He wept for those people, and they rejected Him, hung Him on a tree. And when He was thirsty, He didn't get nice, cool, refreshing water, but rather sour wine vinegar. Why did He do it?
To send.
to save us. He did it because he loves you. He did it because as his children, he wants each and every one of you to understand how much his Father knew that this was the only way to accomplish a work that before the earth was ever made had to be done. Because there's something that God needs. Oh, wait a minute. You haven't heard that this week, have you? There is something that God needs, and this was the only way to get that accomplished. He needs your love. You have all been created to love God. And you know what? The price had to be so great that there would be nothing else that you would want than Him and Him alone. Because it is the first command that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and might. And that can only happen if you understand that He did something that nobody else could do for a reason that nobody else could have done it. Because He alone is perfect love, and He alone had a perfect Son who died for us on the cross. If nothing else, Feast of Tabernacles reminds us, as our brother Randy Peebles has been talking about, we are only here in these bodies for a short time. It's a temporary dwelling. But we're on a journey to someplace special. Where are we headed to? A promised land. That's right, heaven. We're headed to a promised land, to a better world, another kingdom. Where who is King of Kings? Jesus. That's right. He's a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Children, get excited. Feel like shouting glory. Because you know what? If we really understood it, every adult in here would be standing and applauding right now. That's how important it is. This is something that the whole world looks for and groans for and doesn't have. The Feast of Tabernacles is about getting that. And you know what? If the adults can't get it, I pray you children can, because you are the future of the church. Sarah, this isn't just a fun games event. It's about Christ. Seth, this isn't a fun games event. It's about Christ. Jeff, this isn't a fun games event. It's about Christ. Let's sing the last verse together.
Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes I feel like shouting glory.
Better not be waiting for me to sing. You better have your own song. Let's share it again.
Sometimes I feel like shouting glory, glory, glory. Were you there when He rose up from the grave?
We're only here for a short time, people, in a tabernacle. Let's get it. Let's understand what Tabernacles is about. And let's shout it out so that people would understand we're excited about something other than the cares of the world. Amen? Amen?
Thank you. We'll go back and give your children a big hand because these are the future.
While everybody's here, I'm going to read two verses before, well, the kids will be here during the sermonette. And I also want to make one point of clarification. We did not communicate this very well, evidently. We were going to have the kids' t-shirt contest last night, and we waited and waited to start the Bible study, and nobody came, and then finally we started it, and partway into it, then one of the kids came and said, "When's the contest?" And we said, "Well, it was supposed to be at 7. So, if you kids have prepared a shirt, that's great, you're going to need it. If you have not finished it yet, after the Sabbath school class, so if it needs just a little bit more work, maybe you can find some time at the end of the Sabbath school class and put your finishing touches on it. But after the Sabbath school class, as soon as you're done, come on over here and sit down quietly with your shirt, and before we break up, we're going to go ahead and do that, because I know you guys have worked real hard on it, and we'll scramble and come up with some prizes for the winners, but I think you're all going to be winners, because I've seen some of these shirts, and we'll take care of it then. Lunch will be a little bit late, but if we can, a few days ago, fast for 24 hours on the Day of Atonement, I think we can go 15 minutes more for a contest for the kids that they've worked very hard on. So if you don't have your shirt with you, when you're done with Sabbath school, run back to your cabin or your car, wherever it is, and grab it and bring it back. Because before we break up and go to lunch, then we'll do the shirts. Second, there's something that John Trescott used to do, and of course John's not with us anymore, and I want to give everybody a little bit of background. I'm going to read out of Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 9. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and nation and people, or out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Now I want to make a minor point here, and then I'll make the main point I was going to make. Just to calm any questions or curiosity, there's been a few references to heaven and going to heaven, and some of the kids just made one, and we're not teaching we go to heaven. You know, so don't send me any letters saying, "When did you change this doctrine?" We believe that the kingdom of God is going to be here on earth, and we, like, just like we just read, and it's made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth, and that's where we think that the kingdom of God is going to be. Now, if somebody, for other reasons, I mean, I used to think we were going to heaven when I was in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's what they told us. But if somebody thinks that they're going to go to heaven, the only difference is we don't feel the need to take our pass load, nail guns, put extra charge or propane in it, and just drive them through the ground and bang, 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 like a jackhammer. You know, I mean, there's no reason to jump on somebody, especially a child that makes reference to going to heaven. And but if I don't say something, somebody's going to be writing me letters wanting to know when we change this. You know, my grandfather, who I love very much, believed all of his life he was going to go to heaven. And when he comes up in the resurrection, he's going to look around and think this is heaven. So it will be the king, you know, even on earth it'll be like heaven. It will be made into something like the Garden of Eden. The entire, even, you know, Minnesota will be a very nice habitable place to live, a climate that we can all take. No, but I don't feel that calling to go back there. I sold the snowmobiles before we ever moved. All right, so the point I wanted to make out of this is that we're going to be kings and priests, and that's what the first resurrection is all about, is the kings and priests to God under our brother Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Now, what did I want to bring this all for? Let's turn to Numbers chapter 6, as soon as I find it. Numbers chapter 6. starting in verse 22. We don't claim we're priests today. We're like priests in training. But under what priesthood? Is there anybody here that's a Levite? Not that I know of. I don't think so. But there's another priesthood that Christ was our high priest. And if he's our high priest, what priesthood is he from? Melchizedek priesthood. So if we're going to be kings and priests, see, the whole thing was God originally brought all of the nation and the mixed multitude out of Egypt, and they were supposed to be what? A kingdom of priests for him that were supposed to go out to all of the nations. They were supposed to be the light to the nations, something that they never accomplished. But they didn't get very far out into the wilderness, and then there was an incident that wasn't really nice that happened, and there was a switch in plans. I'm not saying he didn't know it ahead of time, but his desire, what his heart was, is that the entire nation would be his nation of priests. And what ended up happening is he took one tribe and made them priests over the other tribes, and the rest of the world kind of got left out into the deal. But in the very end, he's going to get what he originally intended in the beginning. There's a nation of priests, and that's why we have to be either native born or grafted in. Either one, it doesn't matter. It tells us by faith in Christ, we're Abraham's seed, because we're supposed to be a nation of priests, kings and priests, in the end. So, what do priests in training do? This is every one of you. You do the things that... See, this is why I like to study what the priest's jobs were. No, it's not because I want to go out and sling blood around. It's because slinging blood wasn't the main purpose of the priestly duties. Everybody was supposed to learn something from that. That was the ritual, but spiritually they were supposed to get something from it. God didn't tell them to sacrifice animals because he like to see animals die. It says that, you know, he didn't want sacrifice, that he wanted a poor and contrite heart is what he desired. But one of the things the priests are commanded to do is in here in number 6, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. So God commanded the priest to bless the children in bless the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, in a certain way. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See, the priests were supposed to bless Israel like this, and then God was going to, in turn, bless the children. Now, what would happen if the priests wouldn't bless the children of Israel? Well, in spite of them, I guess God could bless them, but that wasn't what his instructions were. You know, Jesus said that he could raise up rocks, that they were going to cry out if he told the people to be quiet. Well, you know, God can do whatever he wants. He can get around it. But I don't think we should be putting stumbling blocks in front of God. So I'm going to ask Charlie, we're going to, right up here in front, I'm going to come down. It's Charlie and Frank, and then I want Paul. I don't want to leave any of the ministers out. But any of the ministers, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and let's do this now.
Thank you. I just want to extend the gratitude I think the congregation feels for the blessing we just received. I was really, I don't know what the word is. I never experienced that before, but very grateful for that. And I just felt, you know, that was ordained of God, and I really appreciate it. I think everyone does. Before we get any farther, let's have an opening prayer and ask God's presence. If everyone would rise or kneel as you prefer. Great, holy God, God of heaven, earth, the sea, everything. We don't know how great you are. We sing songs, how great thou art. We have little concept, we have little idea, but we try. We've tried to come out of this world and assemble here. Some of us have succeeded more than others, I would imagine, but I think everyone in here has made a commitment to set aside at least 7 days, 8 days, to just try to glimpse your greatness and your power and your glory just a little bit more. We know this is the last opportunity to assemble here, for at least in the festival setting, for several months. This is precious to us. This is very holy. This is very sacred. We know that you're listening, that you're here. You might be sitting in a chair, you might be standing on the stage. Your glory may be hovering over this building, I hope so. As it filled the tabernacle, the priests entered in, and they offered sacrifices to you on behalf of the people. Now we can come directly to you, Jesus the Christ, the Yahweh, Yeshua, and we just submit to you. We want to hear from you. We want that water to fall upon us, the Spirit of God. Thank you very much. Allow us to sing these hymns. Allow us to try to bring praise and honor to your name. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.